Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
We're talking about call to produce. We've talked about this this last couple of sermons of that, looking at the fruit of the Spirit as our guide. But we use John chapter 15 as the call, which says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Talking about bearing fruit when we become a Christian and letting that be part of our life and bearing much fruit. In Galatians 5:22, we're looking at that list. I preached about love last week. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And as such, there is no law against. So those are the things that we're looking at for the next few weeks. Today we'll be talking about joy. You know, it's a good thing to have joy in your life. Amen? Joy is something that makes life worth living many times. So we'll take a moment just to distinguish between natural joy and spiritual joy, because what we're speaking of this morning is spiritual joy. Natural joy at its best is temporary. You know, you can be happy one moment and sad the next. It's something that's not lasting. You know, just go look at the storage units today and you will see thousands of things that made people happy at one time. Or they found joy and now it's all stacked up in there and they don't even remember it. You know, some use drugs such as alcohol or crack or cocaine and et cetera to attain joy in their life, yet just to realize they are now addicted to such things, and it is a constantly thing that they got to work on. So what am I saying? Joy does not last. The natural joy is something that flees. Others think that money will do that, but yet even money can only give you joy for a short moment. Many times the natural joy is depending on the circumstances of life, the things that we're going on. And have you figured out yet that circumstances change quite regularly in our lives? Just the time you think it's all wonderful, something happens and your joy is gone. So when we talk about natural joy, it is something that is fleeting. It's something that's temporary. It's something that won't always be there. And hey, I get it. We're joyful and we're sad. I understand the natural part of it. But this morning, we're talking about a spiritual joy. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. That it makes no sense to the world how you can still be joyful even when circumstances change. It doesn't make any sense to them how you can still have joy deep down inside of you even when that which you was happy about is gone. Example of this type of joy I'll give you this morning in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand side of the Father. Thinking about the joy, I don't think we would ever connect joy with going to the cross. This is a supernatural spiritual joy that stayed with Christ all through the beating, all through the whipping of his back, all through the fleeting breath of his body upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says he counted it joy. Now that doesn't come from a natural type of joy. A natural type of joy would have left the first time they punched him. But there was a joy that was supernatural. A joy that is the fruit of the Spirit. A joy that comes in a way that can come with us through no matter what we go through. That type of joy is what we're talking about this morning. A spiritual joy. One that is inside of us. One that is able to endure. One that is able to last. One that is able to go with us into eternity. That type of joy is what I'm speaking of this morning. It's a joy that we often call unspeakable. Because we just can't describe it. It's that joy. This is truly that spiritual joy that's everlasting. So where does this joy begin in the believer. Where do we get that joy? Where does it start? It starts, spiritual joy begins at salvation. When we talk about joy, it starts at salvation. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8 this morning. We're not going to read all the verses this morning because we are really short on time. But we're going to read a couple of 8:26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Listen, Philip had been preaching in Samaria. And it's all because Paul was persecuting the church. And the church scattered out. How many know when the church gets persecuted, many times it multiplies? And so he's in Samaria. And let me just throw this in there, inject this a little bit. We have Philip, who is a Jew, who used to hate the Samaritans, but now he's taking the gospel to the very people he did not like. Does that not go with last week's sermon? He goes with love to them and presents the gospel. You know, you can't do a more loving thing than present Jesus. And he went to present Jesus at Samaria, and they had an amazing thing. The Bible says there were signs and wonders. There were people that couldn't walk, was able to walk. They were casting out demons left and right. It was a regular Azusa Street revival that was taking place in Samaria. People were getting saved. Hundreds of them were getting saved. And the Bible says they called for Peter and John, came down, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was an amazing thing that took place. But in the midst of that very spiritual revival, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip, "Get up, I got a place for you to go." So Philip goes, as the Holy Spirit would tell him, and he goes into this place that the Holy Spirit led him to, because he had a mission for him to go on. He was told to go to Gaza, and there he seen an Ethiopian eunuch riding in a chariot. He was a man of great authority. He was a man under the leadership of Candace the queen. And he had great authority. Also, he had a lot of natural things in his life that would bring joy to him. A lot of natural. He had a lot of things other people did not get to enjoy. He got to enjoy those things that would bring joy. And while he was riding in this chariot out at Gaza, he was reading the book from Isaiah, and it wasn't labeled chapter 53 like we have it in ours. He was just reading the story, and the story was about the lamb that was led to the slaughter. And the Holy Spirit told Philip to go join himself to that chariot, and the guy, and Philip says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he says, "Who is this guy?" And the Bible says, Philip started to preach Jesus. Can I tell you, there's by no other name that we can get saved other than the name of Jesus. We don't get saved by denomination or anything, but it's the name of Jesus. My friend, don't be scared to just present the gospel, because the gospel is what changes somebody's life. It's Jesus that makes somebody different. It's that unadulterated truth of what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary that makes somebody different, that changes a person's life. Long story short, Philip led the man to Jesus. Acts chapter 8, 34 and 35. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say of him, of some other man?" And Philip said, then Philip opened his mouth and began this scripture, preach Jesus to him. The eunuch says, "What is to keep me from being baptized?" They found a piece of water out there in the middle of nowhere. How many know God probably put it there? For this very moment, this very occasion, I'm impressed how God puts people at certain places. Philip said, "If you with all your heart, if you believe with all your heart, you may be." And the eunuch said this, "I believe." You know, there was not a sinner prayer led there. It was just he heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and he became saved. He understood what it meant. Philip baptizes him. And I wish this would happen to me. If I baptize one of y'all, put you under the water, when you come up, I'm in a different place. Philip baptizes him out there in this desert with this little water pond. And the guy comes up and he looks, and Philip, the Holy Spirit says, has beamed him up to some other place. But that's not all the part I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about this. Acts 8:39. Now listen to what happened. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. He was reading about Isaiah one moment in the chariot. The next moment he heard about Jesus Christ. And the next thing you know, I believe. And he was baptized. And the Bible said he went on his way rejoicing. What happened? At the moment of salvation, the joy of the Lord came into his spirit and into his heart. I'm going to tell you, that joy that comes at that moment, we seen it a while ago with Sam as the Holy Spirit came upon him and tears come down. The joy of the Lord, that joy of salvation that takes place at that moment. David said this in Psalms 51 verse 12. He says, restore to me the joy. He didn't say restore to me the kingdom, don't restore all this. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Can I tell you this morning, the moment that we get saved, we experience one of the fruits of the Spirit, and that is the joy, the supernatural spiritual joy that comes into our heart and our soul. That joy, just undescribable. People says, why are you smiling like that? And I say, I don't know, I'm just happy. How many were like that when you got saved? It's a joy that gets inside of here. It's a joy that starts something in our life. It's that fruit that we're talking about when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's a joy that comes from a supernatural relationship with Jesus. It's what makes us happy. See, there's a joy that springs up within us when we are saved and come into right relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's a joy that comes deep inside. This story is one example of that joy. We find that the jailer, that Paul, after Paul and Silas on that midnight hour were singing, victory, yes, victory. Or maybe they were, I don't think that was the song. I don't know what it was. But I'm sure they were singing something, and God's presence came down and his fingers shook the ground and the cell came open and the jailer got saved in his whole house, and the Bible says the jailer rejoiced. Why? Because of salvation that came inside of his life and his heart at that moment. This is that joy that gets down in our hearts. I've led a lot of people in prayer and have witnessed the joy when Jesus comes in. I mean, it really makes my day. Then I've led people in the prayer and it changes nothing, and I have to wonder, did anything really happen? Because, see, I think it's one of those supernatural things. I believe just as much as we believe that the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is talking in tongues. I can't prove it to you scripturally, but I believe that when Jesus comes in truly into your life, there's a joy that comes out. I believe it's an evidence that something happened. Because there's a joy that comes in. It's a supernatural thing. I'll never forget what I felt like the day I got saved. I didn't have a preacher leading me to Jesus. I had the Holy Spirit tugging me to the altar. But I was a changed man and I was a happy man when I got up because of the joy that came inside my heart. It flooded my soul. Listen, what the eunuch experienced was just a starting point of spiritual joy. Aren't you glad? Have you ever thought, is there more of that? It's like, you know, a chocolate cream pie. And you say, well, I enjoy that. Is there more where that came from? None of y'all getting that. Okay. Maybe it's coconut cream. I had a chocolate piece or a pie Friday night. I paid for it, but it was good. But I'm just saying, why? We need to understand there's more a joy to stir up inside of us than just what we receive, that salvation. Joy can increase in our lives if we will but let it. Matthew 13:23 says this, but he who received the seed on the ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Now hear that. Indeed bears fruit and produces. Called to produce. But listen to what it says. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There's a possibility that I can have a deeper joy in my life than what I even had at salvation. of having more joy. Listen, there's not much else this morning to say about the eunuch, because after the story of Philip being caught away, we don't hear much about him in the Bible after that. You'll have to wait till you get to heaven and see if Paul Harvey can finish the story for you. But this story does not continue. But I'm going to say this morning a couple of points really quick this morning. Spiritual joy will manifest in various areas of a growing Christian's life. Various areas of a growing Christian's life as we see others come to Christ. Can I tell you this morning, Paul and Barnabas were sharing with the elders in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, verse 3, and it says, "So being sent out their way by the church, they passed through the Phoenician and Samaria, describing the conversions of the Gentiles." And listen to what it said, "And they caused great joy to all the brethren." What happened? It says, they caused great joy to the brethren when they heard about how many Gentiles were being saved. Can I tell you, there's something that grows within us that's crossing the boundary, Gentile and Jew, and the spirit of joy stirred up inside of them as they heard about people being saved. When's the last time? Oh, just a few minutes ago, right? We got excited when we see somebody get saved. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm saying today that we should get excited. There's a joy about seeing people saved. I watched the videos of college campuses with their hands up and kids just bowing to the Lord. It brings joy in my spirit. Why would I be joyful over that? Because God is joyful that. And the spirit of joy, or the fruit of the joy, is coming from the living God that gets excited. I read a scripture that says even the angels, Kylie, got excited when you got saved. Amen. Angels sung this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. And we get excited about that. There should be a joy. I think it needs to return to the church again. We get excited about somebody coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a deeper depth of joy that's beyond me and towards somebody else. I knew a farmer one time. He couldn't stand it if the next farmer got a new car or a new pickup. He just, oh, he don't need that. I'm thinking, why don't you rejoice with him? If he can get one, maybe you can. Rejoice in God. You know, and it's that fruit of joy that stirs up beyond us and into someone else's life. Hey, there's a joy that can grow in us as we serve the Lord. A joy of serving the Lord that can grow. That fruit of the Spirit. Psalms 100 verse 2 says this, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." With gladness unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Can I tell you, there's a joy about serving God. And it's a joy as you start to get past, not to lose the joy of salvation, but you add on that joy at salvation as you serve the Lord. There's something about serving Jesus. You know, sometimes we forget who we're serving. Sometimes we forget. We start to think, well, it's just the church I'm serving. No, it's not. It's never the church. It's Him. I remember way back, some of you remember Nancy Lindsay? She cleaned the church. And one day, I seen her on her hands and knees scrubbing the grout. I said, that's not on the list. She said, oh, I know. And then I see her doing something else that's not on that list. And I said, that's not on the list. She says, I know, I've got my list done. The rest of it, I'm just serving the Lord. Just serving the Lord. And she was happy about it. I would not be happy. She had her little knee pads she put on and all that. And the toothbrush going like this. And she goes, I serve Jesus. I serve the Lord today. I'm telling you, sometimes we forget, even in pastoral ministry, even in teaching, even in giving, and all this, it's not about this church. It's about who this church represents and who this church belongs to. This is God's house. It is His property. It never has been my property, nor the board's property, nor the people's property. It belongs to Him. Hallelujah. And we serve God in our finance, and we serve God in our labor. We serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's so easy to get mixed up in that. Well, I'm just, you know, all they want's this or that. Come on, to get the right attitude is to realize I'm doing this for Jesus. Amen. I'm putting another shingle on my house in heaven. Hallelujah for God. I said shingle because everybody's getting new roofs. It's serving the Lord. There's a joy in serving God. I challenge you this morning, remember how joyful it was to serve God right after you got saved. Don't shout me down. But it is a joy that is there to serve the house of the Lord. There's even a joy as we get to know God better. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Can I tell you this morning, joy comes in knowing God deeper, understanding Him. Understand that He's a part of your life, that He walks with you. It's more than just a song that about the garden. He's there with you. It's something that just understanding. I remember when Megan, when she was 23, 24 years old, when she decided she was going to go to Kenya. How old were you? All right, I got it right. Because she's going to correct me later. And I thought, man, she's going all the way across the world over there. And I didn't necessarily want that as a dad. I was happy as a pastor. But I'm telling you, there's that moment that you have to realize that God can take care of her over there just as He can take care of her at this church. There's a joy that comes when we start to understand God in a deeper relationship. To understand that no matter what happens in my life, my God is still with me. I may be down on the bottom, but my God's there. I may be on the top of the mountain, but my God's there. I'm going to tell you, I may be abused, but my God's there. I may be loved, my God is there. I'm saying today that we understand the deep you get to know the Lord through thick and thin, the joy will mature in your life. That spirit of, or that fruit of the spirit of joy gets more and more in our life as we get to know God more and more in our lives. It grows. I can't tell you how many times I have to tell myself, God's got this. And sometimes when He doesn't have it, God has the answer. He's there, that fruit, yet good times and bad times, times of lack, times of plenty, times of sickness, times of good health, times of loss, times of gain. This joy is my strength. As we get to know God more, it becomes a strength inside of us as we live. The joy that God gives us. Knowing I am His and He is mine. Come on, there's a lot in that, just that little sentence. Knowing that I am His and He is mine. Did you know there's nothing that He's not aware of in your life? He's aware of your need and He's also aware of your blessings. Oh, hallelujah. I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah. What a joy that brings. What a joy that brings in our life. He will never forsake, nor will He leave us. Knowing even in this chaotic world, how many of you think we're in a chaotic world at this moment? Even in this chaotic world, knowing God has a plan. Can I tell you something? That gives me great joy. Great joy. I almost spoke on that plan this morning and I didn't go that direction. Maybe I will later. Not in this sermon, but somebody clapped. Yes. Praise God. Chicken's getting cold. But that joy of understanding that no matter who's in the White House or who's in the Congress, no matter what rules, what regulations, I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart because I know my Jesus has a plan. Hallelujah! And it will be a victorious plan. That's something that stirs up inside of me. Hallelujah! The joy that comes from the Spirit of the living God that comes inside of us. It's deeper than that at salvation. It grows in our life as we mature and learn who God is. That joy, that fruit stirs up inside of us. Real quick. His joy is my strength. Listen, if we're not careful, our spiritual joy can wane. And we find ourselves miserable Christians. Now I'm going to preach. Miserable Christians. How can we be that way? We had such a joy when we got saved. Spiritual joy is something we must continually fight for. Spiritual joy is something we must continually fight for in our lives. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. On the thought of joy, don't say, well, you misquoted the scripture. The devil has come to try to steal your joy this morning. He may not get the joy that you had at salvation, but he's trying to steal your joy that you have in a relationship with God. Christ has come to give you joy. Life abundant. There's a book titled, Who Stole My Joy? By Sandra Steen. She has 43 short chapters. Short chapter, it's a man book. Because that's what we like, short chapters. And she writes about this, the whole thought. She talks about joy and where it may be stolen in our life. When we have lack, when we have broken relationships, jealousy, negative attitudes, hopelessness, hatred, selfishness, betrayal, low self-esteem, shame and guilt, loneliness, I'm going through these fast, great wealth, anger, bitterness and unforgiveness, worry, fear, humor, false joy, trouble, insecurity, rejection, celebration, encouragement, positive attitude, love, hope, faith, vision, patience, appreciation and purpose, arrogance, charity, choice, courage, pain. And I'll just stop right there. But everything, she says, those are things in our life that can rob our joy if we're not careful. Even when we have power, it can rob our joy. Even when we have everything we need, it can rob our joy. And on the other side of that, because I didn't leave you the full sentence, it says joy meets arrogance. Every chapter that she writes, she's talking about joy meets unforgiveness and bitterness. She talks about joy meeting fear. She talks about joy meeting trouble. Now get what I'm saying this morning, because St. James says, count it all joy when life is not quiet. I can't quote it completely. But what you understand the scripture of the fact when different or device, I'm trying to King James, New King James. Oh, all right, it's all mixed up in there. Count it all joy when everything don't go right in your life. And you wonder how to do that because she's talking, who stole your joy? And if we're not careful, those things come in. We get hurt. We get offended. We get lonely and all this stuff. Well, where's Jesus? I'm going to tell you, she says, meet it with the joy of the Lord. Come on, get a hold of it. The power in it. The strength in it. That's where Nehemiah can make that statement. He says, I don't care what's happening to us, Israel. I know this much. We're going to meet it with the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. Come on, folks. It's easy to let the devil come and rob our joy because he is a thief and he likes to kill. And he also likes to steal. I don't know about you. I'm 1 minute over. Give me a few minutes, all right? We got warmers over there, two of them, for the food. We pay good money for them. To meet things, when things aren't right with our life, and even when success is there, let's always remember, success is good. It's a natural joy. But to meet it with the spiritual joy in our life. Because that's what really counts. That isn't temporary. That is something that will stay with us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I think about my walk with Christ and the opportunities that I've had. I'll tell you, sometimes you just have some things thrown at you. And it just seems like, and you look back for the last 5 years and you think, what happened to my joy? What happened to the joy? I started this thing out. I was joyful to serve God. I was joyful to do whatever God wanted me to do. And, you know, if we're not careful, we let these things sink in. And what happened, I forgot where my joy truly is. My joy, sometimes I have to go all the way back to that moment in 1991 at the altar that God saved me and remember how the joy of the Lord began in my life. And it reboots me and helps me to rethink about what God has done in my life. It's easy to get our mind and our thoughts on circumstances. And listen, the joy of the Lord can overcome the circumstances. And we end up, if we're not careful, if we don't meet the things in our life with the fruit of the Spirit called joy, we become bitter, not better, bitter, ugly, and we don't even enjoy serving God or coming to church anymore. Folks, we need to meet everything with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, because it's that joy that's going to get me through. It's that joy. You know, I was once told, make sure you're called to pastor, because there'll be those moments when you that's all you got. Let me tell you, there's going to be those moments when it's the joy of the Lord is what's going to get you done or through in our lives. Don't let the devil steal your joy. You say, well, it's not the devil, it's so-and-so. Well, don't let so-and-so steal your joy. Refuse it. Let the joy of the Lord stir up. Come on. Sometimes we just need to get joyful in the church, and it wouldn't bother me if one of y'all went to dancing. Oh, that would be almost Pentecostal. Hallelujah. You know, there used to be Sister Mildred at Campo and on a wooden floor. I've told you, boy, we'd be worshiping God. And she'd get the joy of the Lord would hit her. And she'd go, just, and you could hear those high heels just clicking on the wood. And if you was in a basement, you would have thought there was an earthquake. But I'm saying, that's all right to let the joy of the Lord stir up what's happening. It's reality of something dwelling deep in you that's surfacing in the atmosphere. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I want to encourage you this morning to meet whatever you got going on in your life that is robbing your joy. You meet it with the joy of the Lord. Let the fruit of the Spirit be produced in your life. Let it come up and stir up. Let it be part of it. Oh, you say, not today, devil. I'm going to be happy because I got the joy of the Lord inside of me. Come on. Sometimes we walk in this sanctuary and we think we're the only person going through a problem. But I can tell you that's not true. Just let the joy of the Lord stir up inside of you. Amen.